I'm Deborah Fitzgerald Moore from the Department of Service Sector Management, and I'm going to be talking about strategic management, which is a level 6 module on the events, hospitality, tourism and food programme. We've got approximately 400 students with about 5% international students. So the change that we introduced really was, which is based on experiences elsewhere, was changing from an exam to coursework. In particular, we introduced student choice into the assessment by allowing the students to choose the focus of their coursework. So this is a 3,000 word report on a company of their choice. The only proviso is that the choice of company must be reflected in the degree title of the student, so that if they're on a hospitality management programme, then they must choose a company that falls within that sector. Somewhere.
And this is because the students are studying maybe tourism or hospitality or event management?
Yes, we've got a wide range of students, and with very different career aspirations. But also, I suppose, linking on, which we might mention a bit later if we're talking about possible plagiarism, there are a lot of case studies on the market which students could perhaps pick up, and we don't want them sort of taking an off-the-shelf sort of case study on a car company if they're actually meant to be studying hospitality or events management.
So why did you make that shift from an exam to coursework? What was wrong with the exam, doing an exam, for example?
Well, what we found in particular, I suppose, the main thing was we didn't have, again, past experiences with exams and strategic management would indicate that students struggle. You can either have a sort of purely theoretical exam, because then that's fair across a programme of students with doing lots of different courses. But they do struggle very much with that, so success rates weren't great. Or you can, which as I was saying, a lot of textbooks suggest a case study examination. But the problem with case studies across, again, the sort of diverse courses, is that it's very hard to find case studies in terms of equivalence, sort of, so a case study on perhaps a hotel company, a case study on a festival, a case study on a food manufacturer, a case study on an airline, and for them to sort of be fair to students, because also students always say, well, theirs is easier than mine.
Right.
So we have to think of the student perception. So that was one thing in terms of the case studies. And also, if you are looking at, say, case studies from Case Clearinghouse, then they moved from charging you for a master for a case study to actually charging you per student, and so a case study would be sort of, at the moment I think the price is about £3 per case study, so we you know, you can see we'd be looking at £1,200 to use
each
for
each time. Okay. And what about the success rate of students on exams? Was it good, or, you know, was there something to do with the success rate that also prompted you to...
Yeah, I mean, the students did struggle with the exams, and the success rates weren't good. And obviously, you can't just move. You know, I suppose you've got external bodies who are monitoring the quality of the work, etc. And you know, the students find the exam situation challenging. And then, of course, as we mentioned, there were the students who perhaps have to have an alternative assessment to an exam because of their learning contract, or they have to have special conditions in the exam. But also that it didn't seem that the students were really demonstrating their learning with that form of assessment.
Right, okay. And what kind of impact did it have? Did you feel that, in what ways would you say that it was more inclusive, and what kind of inclusive benefits would you say there were by having this student choice element?
I think one of the things was that the students... Well, I think there were lots of advantages, actually. They could... We sort of thought that it was good for them because, from the employability point of view, that they could focus, first of all, on a sector that they may have aspirations to work within. So, for instance, if somebody did want to work in a hotel, it gave them the opportunity to really understand the sector, research the sector, and then also perhaps focus on looking at one particular company, which again might have been somebody they wanted to go and work for. Might not, but equally they would understand the management, excuse me, the management of that company hopefully better. It might be that when researching a company, they'll think, oh, well, I don't want to go and work for them. They may find something that perhaps doesn't sit with their values or ethics or the way they like working. So we thought that that was a good point. And the other aspect was on the international students, so that we weren't making them, say, research a UK-based company.
Right.
You know, they could, if their aspirations were to go back to their home country to work, then they could, again, focus on their country if they wanted to. Say, the event sector in Ghana, I've got a student researching on that, and then they could look at perhaps a particular company.
And culturally, I suppose, it also has benefits in that respect, in the sense that the student can choose to look at a company which is operating within a culture that they're used to.
Yes.
Which might be quite a different business culture, say, from a UK company, or even the same company, but in the UK.
Well, certainly, I suppose, a lot's been written, isn't there, about sort of different management styles perhaps, or different culture, different working practices, different expectations within different cultures, so they can look at that and understand the implications.
Was the feedback good from students?
In fairness, the feedback was mixed. I mean, it is a challenging piece of work, and it certainly isn't a piece of work that I would want to try and attempt to do the night before. And whilst we did introduce the piece of work probably in October for an April submission, and we said to students, don't leave this too late, and we tried to encourage students to start researching their company early, one of the feedback comments which sticks in my mind was that I only had 4 days to do this assignment. And that was linked to a hand-in date. So clearly they were working purely chronologically towards the hand-in dates and clearing their pieces of work sort of off. And so by the time they'd finished their second-to-last assignment, I think this was almost the last for a lot of students, bar exams, there was clearly only a four-day gap between submission of assignments. So that was a problem. But a lot of students, I think, enjoyed, once they got into it, enjoyed the assessment, and I think they were pleased and quite proud with what they'd come up with.
Right. And what about resources as far as you're concerned as a tutor, as an academic? You know, previously there were having exams, now you were marking a large piece of assessment. Did that produce extra work for you?
I think it would be fair to say that these were substantial pieces of work and therefore took much longer to mark than any sort of exam answer, I suppose it's phrased. So it did take up a lot of staff time, to the extent the staff were sort of saying, ooh, maybe we'll limit the word count more next year or something like that, because they did find it quite a task. And also we had introduced the electronic feedback sheets, which again was a change from perhaps annotating the script and putting handwritten comments as you go along. They then had to be consolidated into the electronic feedback, and then they were all sent out by email. So that was also more time consuming, say, than handing pieces of work back in class. And on the exams, typically, although it's not necessarily good practice, often the requirement to give feedback is much less on an exam than on the coursework.
So it was considerably more time.
It's more staff time.
Resource time, yes.
Yes, definitely.
Would you say there were any benefits to that side of things?
I think there were certainly as we said, benefits to students in that we felt this was a really good piece of work that they might like to take to a job interview as an example of a quality piece of work, because a lot of the students put a lot of effort also into the presentation of the report, and so it was an example of what they could produce, you know, sort of a business type report.
Something that they wouldn't have been able to do in an exam situation.
Exactly, because with the best will in the world, people tend to scrawl very quickly in an exam, and you can't really, you know, it's not very meaningful to take that to an interview. In terms of myself, I felt that some of the work was at the top end was so good, you might want to either put some on slides or, you know, use as examples, particularly some of the external environment work, in terms of, say, their pest analysis on a particular company. You know, you could hand out and have a discussion in a tutorial.
So it actually produced resources for you to a certain extent.
To a certain extent, it did produce resources that we could use.
You mentioned benefits to the students. You mentioned, so it was an aid to employability. This was because it was something that was targeted directly towards the kind of work that they was directly relevant to their future life, effectively future work and employment.
I think so. A focus group with the external examiner, not necessarily for this module, actually, strangely enough, but and some of the final year students. And what he'd been sort of saying to them is that in terms of employability, the would-be employers will have an expectation that they can operate at an operational level, but what will distinguish sort of candidates is whether they can think strategically and whether they can have a strategic perspective on what's going on. And from his viewpoint, that would sort of separate candidates in terms of their employability.
So this piece of work was something that that would be, excuse me, as opposed to an exam, would seriously aid that.
Yeah,
process.
I think so. Yeah. It's much more beneficial to them than an exam.
What about success rates? I mean, you talked about success rates not being too good with the exam. Was there a big improvement in that?
Yes, I mean, mainly very good first-time pass rates. Where students didn't perhaps succeed often was due to sort of exceptional circumstances, some difficulty perhaps the student encountered. We didn't have many failures, so it was more sort of failure by non-submission due to something else rather than poor pieces of work, although there were of course some. And I think that those were the students who perhaps hadn't managed their time, then realised what a monumental task it was going to be to try and do it in 2 or 3 days and just didn't do it. And of course, I suppose there are the exam regulations that allow for them to be compensated if they get between 35 and 40.
Right, okay.
But that's quite a fine line, isn't it? 34 to 35, who decides? But, and there are other assessments, so they may have calculated whether they could afford not to submit or not. I mean,
right.
One student actually asked me, she said, I know you can't answer this, she said. So you think, why are you asking me then? But I know you can't answer this, but, you know, given that I'm really pushed for time and I've got all this pressures, I mean, strategically, she said, would I be able to just sort of drop this piece of work and focus my attention on other modules to get higher marks? So the students are, in a way, savvy, some of them, to what they have to do and what they can get away with.
We talked a bit about resources before, and you were quite clear that there were additional resources in terms of staff time in marking, which with 400 students could build up to quite a bit. But you've also mentioned that first-time success rates were quite good. So would you say there are any kind of resource compensations by having done this?
As we've said, I think it's a better way of assessing what the students have actually learned, and I think in terms of giving them the choice of what they research. Although, strange enough, some students like to be guided more, so we might sort of, in a way, produce perhaps lists of companies.
Right.
Suggestions for those students who for whatever reason, are struggling to find their own company.
Mm. And so in the future, you might work towards prompting students to get going early. Were there any changes you've decided to make as a result of that feedback you've got?
Yes. The students do a presentation at the minute it's in pairs and is on a sort of theoretical topic on the syllabus. However, what we think is that we'll change that for next year, and so the students will in groups produce a pastel analysis on the sector within which their company sits, so that they have to start, certainly by the time of the presentations, which would be January, probably starting January. So at least they've done a chunk of the work in that they've looked at the external environment and probably the micro environment and how that will impact on a company within the sector. We've also got the issue now that we can't give groups a flat mark.
So they'll be individually assessed on that.
So yes, I think they'll each do, you know, the P or the E or whatever, and then they'll be individually assessed in some way on their presentation.
But it will get them going, certainly in the...
Means they have to have done something.
Yeah, and will you be drawing the link between the work they're doing there and this particular assessment that they have to do?
Yes, I mean, it depends how we describe it in the sort of booklet, but I think however we do it, we will make the link very clear that this is preparation, effectively a building block for the main assignment.
So just going back to resources again, additional resources in staff time, benefits in terms of resources that you can use some of those pieces of work because of the high quality of those pieces of work. And also first time pass rates higher, meaning that you had less retakes to kind of deal with through the summer.
Yes.
And presumably also not having an exam, all the resources involved in
invigilation,
alternative forms of assessment,
yeah.
invigilation, extra time and so on, resolved. So it's more inclusive in that respect. Yeah. Do you feel that introducing this change has encouraged you to think about introducing changes in other respects or across other modules?
I suppose, speaking personally, I think it's a better way to go, because you're not sort of tinkering around afterwards and trying to fix things for particular students. So if it's a reasonable assessment for everybody, I think it's much more manageable. Certainly would think about it for other modules.
Okay. Brilliant. Was there anything else that you wanted to say that you haven't had a chance to say about this particular module, the benefits or the negatives, or any warnings that you'd want to give to other staff if they were thinking of introducing something like this?
One of the, I suppose, the worries is the lifetime of the assignment or assessment, and the issue around plagiarism.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We did have 6 suspected cases of plagiarism
out of 400 students.
Out of 400, and they tended. There were a couple where there were issues, possibly about collusion. Sort of one student possibly copying another student's work. The others were for international students who'd plagiarised off the web, but they weren't very good at it. So, which is a bit of, I don't know. So the context, the example I can think of is that we had a Chinese student who was then researching a Western company setting up in India, which didn't seem the most likely choice. And when we looked more deeply, there was a student paper available on the web that had looked at, I think it was, I can't remember now, it was either McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken going into India.
So it didn't fit
with what we'd sort of asked them to do, because we had said, this is your opportunity to sort of focus on something of future interest to you personally.
But I mean, quite often staff will say, academic staff will say to me that, you know, they don't want to introduce a written take-home assessment or a coursework assessment instead of an exam because of issues around plagiarism. But as far as you're concerned with it, in this particular example anyway, because it was very, perhaps because it is individually an individual choice, and so they're picking a case study that's very relevant for them, it didn't seem to be an issue. Generally speaking, I'm 6 cases out of 400. Is that,
well, it's not many, I wouldn't have thought. I don't think it's a bad result. We will, from next year, introduce Turnitin.
Okay.
So that we will be able to, I suppose, assess, and the students will know that it's got to go through Turnitin, so that might be a deterrent, certainly from those plagiarising from the net. I think that sort of there's always, in a way, an opportunity to plagiarise, but I think a lot of students will be found out, because it is surprising, even though perhaps you're reading a lot of reports, that you do think, oh, I've seen this somewhere before. And it's often, I suppose, if people are very, very clever, if they're very clever, maybe they don't need to plagiarise anyway, but it's usually the ones who get it wrong. So, because you're likely to pick up something that isn't correct. Like, I think in one case, students were referring to a turnover of 9,000 when it should have been 9 million, because they hadn't taken the scale off the data from from FAME, which is the database which has the sort of accounting. Now, for one student to do that and present it in a way, you think, well, they've been a bit dozy. But then if you get another student who's made exactly the same mistake on exactly the same company and expressed it in exactly the same way, you think, and you do pick those things up.
Okay, that's brilliant, thank you very much.